2 Peter chapter 1, but I also want to read a little something to you from Psalm 18. Where did I get Acts? Psalm 18, and then 2 Peter chapter 1. Psalm 18 has an introduction written. It's not scripture, it's about scripture. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. This psalm, I'd encourage you to read it when you have leisure and be reminded that we pray and ask for God for deliverance from troubles and trials, problems. But David prayed for 7 years while he was running from Saul, and Saul wanted to take his life and tried to kill him on a couple of incidents. David could have killed Saul, but he refused to do that. He captured his canteen and his spear and took him and laid him at his feet, and it humbled Saul, and he did not harm David, but then he continued to hunt for him to kill him after that. And so for 7 years, David waited on the Lord to deliver him, but he still praised God for all his deliverance during all that time. And David continued to fight against the Philistines during that time with the men that followed him. Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years for God to fulfill his promise to them to give them a son. They messed up a couple of times, did some wrong things, and tried to have a son with the handmaid Hagar, and that was a mess and created part of the problem of the other nations that don't get along with Israel today. But my point is, we're going through difficulty and we're praying and asking for God's intervention, and sometimes God intervenes in an immediate way to deliver his people, but there are times that we go through periods of time, and in going through periods of time, we're still not to give up on praying and believing God to answer the prayer that we're praying. For Israel, it was 430 years in Egypt before they were delivered with Moses. And the captivity in Babylon, God had told through Jeremiah that it specifically would be 70 years before they would be delivered from that captivity. And he'd also told Abraham that his descendants would not come forth from Egypt for 430 years. So God made those things clear. We don't know how clear things are right now about the timing, but we know God's on the throne. And so let's pray. There comes Satish in. He needs a job. Brother Luke back there sitting in the back row needs a job. And Tommy Tark got a job and starts tonight at a burger place up in Pineville. If he can make a couple $100 a week, he can get by, and he might be able to work that in the evenings and help with Mike in the mornings or something if it works out. You know, Gwen, I don't know. That's as much as I know at this point. All right, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Virtue means excellence. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so in entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you in always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Now, we're looking at the mature believers who have the responsibility to be encouragers to others, to try and stimulate spiritual growth in other believers by provoking them to study, to be coming to church, to put forth the Bible into their practical daily lives, and to help them grow. We saw in Proverbs 27 and verse 17 that iron sharpeneth iron. And so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. In Proverbs 17, a friend loveth at all times. In Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So as we minister to one another, a loving rebuke when somebody's caught up in sin or doing wrong, Galatians 6:1-2, you that are spiritual, restore such an one that is taken in a fault, but consider yourself, lest you be overcome with the temptation of the sin that they're dealing with. So it's important that we try to restore and reach people for Christ. First of all, tonight, I want us to look at God has given us all we need for life and godliness in 2 Peter 1, through him that's called us to glory and virtue. Knowing the day of the Lord will come, 2 Peter 3, 10 and 11, knowing the day of the Lord is coming and that everything in this world is going to be burned up, all the works of the earth, the Bible asks the question, knowing this, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holiness and godly conversation, godly lifestyle? So we know what's going to happen in the future. We know what biblical eschatology teaches about Christ is going to deliver us in the rapture, and he's going to bring judgment upon the earth in the tribulation, and that's the day of the Lord. That's the time of judgment. Revelation 6 through 19, those judgments are horrific that will come upon the earth during that time, and we are delivered from that if we know Christ is our Savior. And so knowing that's going to happen, we should be busy about trying to witness. We should be busy about living for the Lord. We should not be callous and caught up in the things of this world, seeing they're all going to pass away. And God's power is sufficient for us for all we need in order to have everlasting life and in order to be godly in the life that we live. God's word is sufficient to equip us for godly living. So we look at Psalm 119 for a moment. We'll come back. But in Psalm 119, this psalm is all about the Word of God. I've shared that with you before. Psalm 119 in verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So the Word of God has everything sufficient that we need so that we don't sin. First John says God would have us not to sin, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And we have all that we need for growth and all that we need for witnessing to others. In verse 46, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Back in verse 27, he said, "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works." When you spend time devotional reading in the mornings before you go off to work, quite often God can recall to your memory things when you have an opportunity talking to somebody at work or sitting down at lunch or something of that nature. And they may bring up something that just immediately God reminds you of that passage of Scripture that you read that gives you an open door to be a testimony and a witness to them and probably a help. God's Word has what we need to keep us from sin, to help us to grow, to be a witness for Him. Verse 40 says, "Behold, I have longed after thy precepts, quicken me in thy righteousness." So God can give us life of righteousness to live for Him and serve Him and abstain from sin. Comfort from the Spirit is given and also from the Word. Verse 50, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." Verse 58, "I learned of thy mercy through the word. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word." The psalmist said, God's mercies are new every morning. Thank God for that promise. In verse 63, "I'm companion to those who honor thy word." And we are gathered here tonight as companions, as friends, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And our relationship with the Word of God and salvation is what joins us together. It's what gives our church unity. It grants us power to be witnesses to others and to help people know how to be saved by the Word of God. Good judgment, learning, comes by believing God's Word. Verse 66, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." Thy word is better to me than wealth, in verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. In verse 89 and 90, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." God is faithful to keep us. And in verse 98, we become wiser than our enemies. We have more understanding than our teachers. We can have more knowledge and wisdom than the ancients. A young man who walks with God can be wiser than an old man who does not walk with God, even though he has more experience. Verse 98, "Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts." So these are ways that God reveals to us that through his word, he makes us have wisdom that exceeds education and exceeds even practical knowledge, because God's word offers wisdom. Understanding caused the psalmist to hate every evil way. In verse 104, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." God's word reveals the wickedness of sin and the evilness of sin and the damage of sin. If you grew up like I did in the home of my father being an alcoholic, I saw all of the trouble that alcohol could cause. If you grew up in the home of a drug addict, you probably experienced poverty and probably abuse, and you saw what those things could cause. And the psalmist speaks here of God's word giving him wisdom to have that kind of understanding. Our path is guided by God's word in verse 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In verse 130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." And in verse 165, "Great peace, Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So all that's needed for us to be redeemed by the Lord and to live for God in a Christian life. Godliness is nothing more than being a Christian. A Christian is to be Christ-like. And Christian is not like a title like Baptist. Baptists ought to always be Christian, but I'm afraid not all of them are, you know. And as a Christian, it means Christ-like. And so if we're Christ-like, then we're godly. And those terms are sort of synonymous. If we lack wisdom, we can ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Psalm 19 and verse 7 through 14, it gives us another explanation of the Word of God. By the way, thinking of Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Did anybody stay up and watch the meteorite shower last night? I don't know if it was cloudy. I don't know if it was clear or what, but it was cloudy. What you call shooting stars or streaks of red across the sky, you know, or meteorites. And that was supposed to be the big one. I've seen it once, and it was sort of a letdown after listening to what to look for on the news media and expecting to see, you know, something really fantastic, and you just saw a bunch of red streaks in the sky. You know, they weren't very big. They were awful distant, but I have seen it before. I saw the Halley's Comet when it came through. Supposedly only comes through about every 75 years, but it came through several years ago. In the daytime, you could see it up in the sky, and just looked like a little blue light burning up there, kind of, you know. And there was another one here not long ago. I didn't see it. And Mars was supposed to be real visible. I've seen it before when it was visible. I didn't see it this time. But those are God's creation, and they reveal his power and his handiwork. God created those things. We think about an artist that can paint an amazing picture. Our God is the one who paints the sunset and the sunrise and hangs the stars in space, and we praise him for that. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. So God's Word, he's given us everything that we need for life and for godliness. People have doubts and fears, secondly. We closed looking at that last week. Doubts and fears. There can be no peace when people compare themselves with one another. You can always find someone who has things better than you do, and you can always find someone that has things worse than you do. If you do something wrong, you can say, well, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so, you know. That makes no difference whatsoever, because we're not going to be judged by how we compare to each other. We're going to be judged compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the Scripture makes clear we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we all need forgiveness. We won't be facing what we really need. We won't be looking at life from reality if we compare ourselves with other people. We should simply seek to be obedient unto God. Some people have doubts and fears because they are envious. The Psalm 73, if you want to look there, I should have told you to hold your marker in Psalm, but I'm just going to read a couple of verses in Psalm 73. This is not a Psalm of David, this is a Psalm of Asaph. Psalm 73 and verse 2, but as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Verse 17 says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then understood I their end. So the unsaved, you might be envious of their wealth or envious of some of their prosperity or talent, but if they don't get saved, the end is judgment from God for them. And we are blessed to have forgiveness of sins and everlasting life given unto us. So we shouldn't envy what other people have. We shouldn't compare ourselves with the wicked. It can seem like they have no hardship. It can seem like they have great wealth. It can seem like they have health. But it can be taken away from them in a moment's notice, in a day's time. And we, by God's grace, when we live for Him and serve Him, He has a reason to keep us around to be His witness. Doubts come when one doesn't develop a love for the Word of God and read it daily. It's important that we read the Word of God daily. I started in August the 1st reading a proverb every day and a psalm every day. And many of the psalms are very small, so I got ahead a good ways with that, reading several a day. But I had finished the Word again, and so I decided to, instead of like starting in Genesis or something like that, I decided to start by reading a proverb a day and a psalm a day. And then I study, of course, to prepare 3 sermons a week, so I'm always reading and studying books of the Bible. How you study and read is you know, it's important that you get something that works for you. But I urge all of us not to be satisfied with just a casual, simple Bible study where you read a couple of verses and read a little thought. Don't leave it at that for the day. You know, when you get home at night, you got time, sit down, skip a TV program, and sit down and read before you go to bed at night, and learn and grow through the Word of God. If you don't develop a love for the Word and a study of the Bible daily, then you can easily have doubts and fears because you're not being reminded of the promises of God and being kept by the power of God and the goodness of God and all of the attributes of God. Some people have doubts and fears because of hidden sins that they refuse to give up to God. I've been a pastor for 41 years, and I've seen church members that I learned later on were drug addicts, that were alcohol drinkers, that had any type and every type of sexual sins, some who have, lied over and over again about things. And we've even had some who have gone out into the homosexual world of today. And you wouldn't have thought that. They came and sat in church, and they looked fine and acted fine and all that sort of thing. But they had doubts and fears, and there was a reason they had doubts and fears, and that was because they were keeping things hid. They were fearful that they would be exposed from their sin. And God is merciful if we come to Him and confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But it's important that we yield to the Holy Spirit when we do wrong, that He will convict us, and right away we go to God in prayer and seek His forgiveness. And we can regain our confidence that we can pray and be heard by the Lord. We are strengthened by assurance. Therefore, we seek God's purposes rather than having doubts and fears. We want God's purposes to be done. I want certain things about our nation. I have a definite plan for how I'm going to vote and how I'd like to see the election go and that sort of thing. But I yield that to the will of God. I don't know what God is going to do. God may give us what we deserve rather than what we want. And how we live may determine what we deserve and what's going to happen in the future. He enables us by His Spirit, and so we've seen in the Word we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. We are not to quench the Holy Spirit. We are to yield to the Holy Spirit's control. And if we yield to His control, then He will guide us and direct us and convict us, and He will comfort us. He is the comforter. Thirdly, in your outline, we're back in 2 Peter in chapter 1 and verse 5. To apply diligence to our faith and grow in moral excellence, we are to add these virtues that 2 Peter chapter 1 mentions, beginning with verse 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, putting forth a real effort, add to your faith virtue, excellence. And to excellence or virtue, knowledge. Moral godliness is excellent. The impression made on others, your testimony of a godly life, is that virtue that the Lord wants all of us to have. Back in Philippians, in chapter 4, I'm coming right back. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So keeping our focus on the things that are right and good and honorable, and not letting our focus get into the gutter and cause us damage. The impression we make on other people is our testimony of godliness. Virtue is joined as an essential quality of the exercise of faith. In Luke 6:19, virtue is used of Jesus when men touched Him. And when they touched Him, the Bible says virtue went out of Him, and He healed them all there. The Lord could tell the virtue would go out of Him, a strength, an excellence, His moral qualities, His testimony. You remember the story in Luke 8:46, how as He went to heal the servant's son, or daughter, I believe it was, He went through the streets and there were many people, and a woman touched the hem of His garment. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Now remember, when God asks a question, it's not for His benefit. He knows the answer. It's for our benefit. He's going to teach us something. "Who touched me?" And they said, "Master, a lot of people are touching you. You know, wasn't me, wasn't John and Peter, you know, but there's a lot of people around you touching you." But Jesus knew virtue had gone out of Him when this woman touched the hem of His garment. She was made whole. She'd had an issue of blood for 12 years, if I'm not mistaken, was the number that the Scripture gave. And she had wasted her substance on doctors and that sort of thing. And she knew if she could just touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, she'd be made well, and she was. Now I wonder if we are witnessing to people and talking to people about the Bible, is there virtue from us that can give them confidence we know what we're talking about, or to look to the Lord? We're not trying to praise men, we're trying to praise the Lord. We're to add to our virtue knowledge. Divine truth is foundational to spiritual discernment. And many people in our world today profess to be Christians, and they follow all kinds of people that do things contrary to the Word of God. Why would they do that? Because they have no discernment. Discernment comes from the knowledge of the Word of God. Many lack discernment. Paul wrote of being persuaded of the goodness and knowledge of the believers at Rome. He said, "Because you are able to admonish one another." Paul prayed in Colossians 1:9 for the church to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So we need what God can give us to have wisdom, to know what to follow and what not to follow. But when somebody goes contrary to the Word of God, if we know our Bibles, we're going to know that immediately. And we're going to know that's not correct, that's not true, that's not what we're supposed to follow. Back in Proverbs 2 and verse 1, Proverbs Solomon said, "My son, thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul." Now get this, verse 11. "Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." Discretion and discernment are very closely related in definition. The Holy Spirit enlightens us in the understanding to a serious student of the Word of God. The more you know the Bible, the more you're going to have discernment or discretion. And then we're to add temperance, which is self-control. Self-restraint, like an athlete restrains himself. He doesn't overeat. He runs. He exercises. He restrains his body's desires and all those sort of things that he might do his craft. False teachers teach people they can indulge themselves. They can participate in sinful things and it won't harm them. But that's not what the Bible teaches. And so it's important that we have self-control and temperance. False teachers tell people what they want to hear. The Bible calls it having itching ears, that people seek out those teachers that will tell them what they want to hear. Fourthly, we're to add perseverance. Perseverance is simply patient endurance. How long have you been saved? How many of you have been saved 20 years or longer? Boy, almost every hand in here. Look at that. Praise God. Joy and I have been saved for a little over 45 years. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that. And I'm thankful that God has kept us by his power. And we have endured in the starting of a church and the building of the church and in raising a family and all of those things. And certainly it takes patience to continue, because you can get upset and just like to quit sometimes when everything's going wrong. Don't do that. Go ahead and endure. Be patient in the work. And then godliness is true religion, brotherly kindness, and charity. These things we add to our faith and virtue. Let's have a good testimony for Christ. And therefore, we can pray and get hold of God in our hour of need. David said the Lord blessed him for having clean hands and an upright heart, and God preserved him through all of his trials and all of his troubles. They don't always end overnight, but God can keep you through them all. Father, bless your people. Help them as they travel home with safety and protection. Thank you for the little shower. There's a promise of a good bit of rain tomorrow, Lord, and many of us need some rain on our yards and our little crops we're growing and things like that. Our animals need water, and we pray for all of that. We ask that you'll give us rain. You said on the world, the nation of Israel, you warned them if they worshiped idols, you'd withhold rain. And Lord, the wickedness in our land, we certainly don't always deserve the blessings that we receive, but your people are being blessed, and so the heathen benefit from it. And we ask that you would bless your people. Help us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.